today on Compassion Radio.
So I went to her house to see what she really wanted and to visit about it, and brought my photo album, of course. So while we're talking, she's looking through it, and she gets to the land page and says, "What is this?" And I said, "Well, that's a dream. One day we hope that God will bless us with land." She said, "Okay, that's something to pray about." And 5 weeks later, I got a call. Basically, she said, "God said for me to give you a certain amount of money." And I was like, "That's awesome." She goes, "No, it's for land." And I'm like, "But we're not buying land yet." She goes, "But God said this is for land, for you."
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way, whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States. Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. Kulea Child Care Villages is a faith-based charity dedicated to rescuing and raising orphans and vulnerable children in East Africa. All this week, Bram's wife Sandy connects with Deborah Brown, the head of this wonderful ministry, to talk about the amazing work God is doing in the lives of so many precious children in Kenya and Tanzania. Here's Sandy with part two of that conversation.
We're back again with Deborah Brown from Kulea Villages. There are a lot of people out there in the world that may be listening to this in this country that really get what you're saying. This resonates with you. I want to speak to our listeners. This may resonate with you, what Deborah's saying, that God has placed a dream in your heart, in your mind. He's given you a vision, if you want to call it that. He's placed a picture of a place that you may not even know where that place is right now, or a burden in your heart. That God is saying, just be obedient. And your step of obedience may not mean you are starting a ministry in Africa. It may mean something as small as taking food to your neighbor. Mm-hmm. But God will pursue us relentlessly when He has a work for us to do that He knows is going to bring us into closer relationship with Him.
And to bring others, yeah.
And to bring others into relationship with Him. It's going to bring Him glory, and you're going to have peace that you've never experienced. Right. And I think that's what you're talking about when you said grief was lifted and God just said, "Okay, I just wanted you to be obedient. Just step in and say, yes, God."
Right.
Regardless of what the 10-year plan looks like.
Right.
Or even the 1-year plan. Just be obedient in this moment. And He's going to order your steps.
Right.
I think that's something that we can really get and learn from what you're saying right now. God's going to order our steps. He's going to bring the increase, or He's going to bring the provision, but we just have to walk in obedience and trust Him
to do
that.
That's true. And the hard thing is, you know, we'll say, well, we're people of faith. We believe God can do it, until it comes down to that moment where you're like, okay, God, are you going to do it? And then you have to just say, yes, I do believe, and I'm going to wait, I'm going to watch, and I'm going to praise you for what you do. Mm-hmm. I think the hard thing for me was, after my family knew, because they know me so well, I used to even complain, "I'm embarrassed, I have trouble crying at a funeral, guys, I'm so unemotional, but I do care about people, and I just don't cry." And then suddenly I'm crying like nonstop for 8 weeks. My kids, everybody around me were like, okay, something's wrong with Mom. And then for it to just switch off and me say, okay, I told God yes. And they're like, to what? I said, I'm not exactly sure, except it involves rescuing children, helping orphans, and working with the people that I met when I was a professor in Africa, whatever. It's just, I don't really know yet. But it's one thing with your family, but then you need to talk to people.
Right.
And it's like, okay, what do I do? So I reached out to some of the women who'd been on the trip with me, and one or two who weren't on the trip, but I knew their hearts break for orphans. And they agreed to come and pray with me around my kitchen table once a week. We met that group of women. They were amazing because they just really cried out, God, what do you want us to do? Mm-hmm. And it took me meeting with them 4 weeks before I would say, so I had an experience for 8 weeks after the trip. How do I tell people what happened? Because I don't know exactly the next step. and God hasn't shown me. Then God began to reveal through them and through the organization we'd gone with in Uganda. I reached out to them. They said, we have a conference in September. If you want to come back, what we're going to do is explain how we rescue orphans and how we build childcare villages. And we're inviting pastors from all over Africa to come. We want our model to be replicated. And if that's something God's laid on your heart, you come. We did that in September. The calling happened between February and April until I said yes. And then September, I'm back in Uganda. Never thought I would go there again in my life. We studied and learned about that, came home, and I went through this time for about a year of trying to fulfill the call in another way. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever been called to do something and said, okay, God, that sounds good, but I'm going to do it my way.
Here's my plans for what you've called me to do, God.
Exactly. Okay. During those 8 weeks, I had been searching online for books about orphans because that's all I wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. I didn't mention that during those 8 weeks, I wrote two songs and I took up painting. I had never done art in my life, and all I wanted to paint was things to do with Africa. And if my art teacher ever hears this radio, she'll be like, oh, yeah. All she did was paint stuff. I would say, can you do your family instead of Africa?
Can I do them in Africa?
But so he just brought all these things. So I read a book by Janine Maxwell, who is the vice president of Heart for Africa. She now lives in Swaziland, but at the time was living near Atlanta and leading Heart for Africa with her husband. And I read her book. I was so moved by it. I'm like looking up the author, trying to find a phone number. Oh, I found a phone number. I call her up. I'm driving my carpool and she's driving her carpool. Hey, I don't know you, but I just read your book. And I felt free to tell her how God had moved my heart for orphans. And she goes, well, we've got a lot of need if you want to volunteer with us. So I traveled with them. A friend of mine who met at the kitchen table every week went with me, and we went on one of her trips to Kenya, to Kinagop, and we helped widows with a project there. And then she asked me to edit the first copy of her second book before it went to the editor. She was, I just don't have time to do anything. I need to write the stories down and then you take it and make it look good. Okay, I did that. And then I edited their land use plan. They just bought 1,500 acres in Swaziland. And all of that, I felt like God was saying, this is nice. This is not what I have for you. But you're doing good work, but I'm still asking you. You said yes to something. And so at that point, the women who continued to pray with me, we went to our missions team and said, this is what we feel God's asking us to do. And we think our church should do it. You know, again, because I don't know really where to start. This is a year later. This is now 2009, about August. And the missions team said, let us pray about this. And this is from West Congregational Church in Massachusetts. And they took time and they met once in between. But 2 months later, they brought us back in and they said, number one, we think the call is valid, that God has really put a calling on your heart and that he wants to do something. But we also feel very strongly it's not to be done through one local church, that you should start a nonprofit. And I was like, what? You know, not out loud.
Right.
But I was like, okay.
Smile and nod.
Smile and nod. And literally, I came out of there and the women there and a few other people in my life were like, you can do this. Just do it. I'm like, okay, well, we'll try. And by December, we were ready to register. And do you know, we registered in the state of New Hampshire in their Capitol building on December 24th, you know, on Christmas Eve. We're there with all of our paperwork. And they say, oh, are you here to sing Christmas carols? Because it was a bunch of women. We were like seven women. And I'm like, no, we're here to register a nonprofit. And one of the women goes, but I sing, you know, and the others are like, but I don't. We ended up singing Christmas carols. The office next door sent a runner. Can you come to our office next and sing Christmas carols? Okay, let us finish our paperwork because, you know, we're registering a nonprofit in here.
The important stuff to do.
And the runner said, but we processed that paperwork. We'll put yours on top if you sing for us. No joke. We went next door and sang a Christmas carol to them. And they go, yeah, your application just moved to the top of the stack. And they approved it before the first of the year. It was crazy. We were like, oh, we're approved. So suddenly it's January 1st and we're a nonprofit. I'm like, whoa, we have a name. We have a mission statement. We have a vision and a whatever. Time to go. So we formed a board. And you know, from there, I think God just began moving so fast. We almost couldn't keep up. I had put together just a simple photo album. And one photo was a picture of land. And one of the pastors that we had decided to work with, he and I had this vision of let's buy land to build a village for kids. And he was looking, physically looking at properties. And I'm saying, wait, Pastor Romy, we don't have any money. We just are trying to figure out how board of directors, what our policies are, and, you know, establish a routine here. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, no problem. No problem, Mama Lindsay. I'm just looking. It's free to look. Okay, great. You go look at land. And he's now sending me photos. So I put one photo in my album, along with pictures of orphans. Meanwhile, a woman from another church in my town called me and said, can you come speak for Vacation Bible School about Africa? Okay, sure.
You're all of a sudden an expert.
Yeah, because I just said yes to something I don't really understand. Yeah, no, but I did love Africa and right. I lived there for a year. So maybe that was enough to speak. So I went to her house to see what she really wanted and to visit about it and brought my photo album, of course. So while we're talking, she's looking through it and she gets to the land page and says, what is this? And I said, well, that's a dream. One day we hope that God will bless us with land. And that particular plot is like 75 acres, but you know, we would need something like $8,800 to buy it. And we don't even have $10 to put together right now. We're just starting. She said, okay, that's something to pray about. And 5 weeks later, I got a call. Basically, she said, God said for me to give you a certain amount of money. I don't want to go into the amount or her name. And I was like, that's awesome. She goes, no, it's for land. And I'm like, but we're not buying land yet. She goes, but God said this is for land, for you.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Here's a word from Bram.
You know, every Compassion Radio broadcast is a unique opportunity for us, for you, and for the kingdom of God around the world. For us, because we get to make the case that God is doing some amazing things right now in the places and in ways you might never have suspected. For you, because you get the opportunity to enter into these stories through your prayers and financial support. And it's an opportunity for the kingdom of God because they get to speak directly to you. Thank you, friends, for making it all possible. As God enables you, I humbly ask that you would continue your partnership with us as the Lord Himself leads you to. We can't be the voice for global mission without you.
If you'd like to partner with Compassion Radio, you can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com. If you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot.
We're always on mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Still know His voice who rose.
Listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Sunday morning, now at my home church, a woman comes up to me in the foyer who had been very ill and had lost her job because of her illness and was on disability, really struggling financially. Basically said, hey, how are you doing? I've been praying for you this week. And she said, are you guys buying land? And I'm like, in the future, yes. And she was already supporting one of our children. And she goes, well, I came into some money. I said, great, because she needs it. And she said, no, but God said for me to give all of it to you. And I'm like, I really felt she needs the money. This is an unwise decision. And she said, it's not my money. He's made it very clear. And I said, can you hold that? And what was the amount? And the two amounts together were exactly half of what the cost of the land is to the dollar. And I'm like, I need to talk to my board of directors. And I really need to talk to God, the chairman of that board. And so we met and we decided to just take the week and really pray individually and come back together. And we said, you know, if God's doing it, okay. So I told the two women, we are going to accept the gift. And we do have a plot of land that's for sale that we've identified we want for the future for us. Then I went about what I do best, trying to do the rest of the work in my own way.
Micromanaging, I think we talked
exactly.
about that.
Exactly. Okay, I can raise this other money. Mm-hmm. It's like whatever, $4,000 or $5,000. I think it was right at $4,400. I can do this. I'll just send out an email to everyone who knows that we're starting the nonprofit. Anybody that I know, they're on my email list, even from where I grew up in Texas. So I carefully chose all those people. You know, I spent probably an hour going through my contacts list. It was before we had all these like groups. It was right. A long time ago of email, right? Then I spent time writing and rewriting and editing my perfect email ask, right, about
For
the
sure.
land, trying to tell the story and be succinct, which I'm not good at. And it was perfect. If you'd read it, you would have bought an acre of land for $120 and you would have to. I'm talking to two people here. So,
and all the listeners.
And all the listeners, you all would have bought an acre. We would have had, you know, 10,000 acres. It was such a great email. And I hit send and sat back and went, oh, that's great. Okay, God. So you take that and run with it. Seriously, that was sort of my attitude. I'm not kidding. And then I thought, did I eliminate that one phrase? Went into my sent emails to check and it's gone. There's nothing there. Went back to my drafts. There's nothing there. Started digging through. I mean, just frantic. Like, where's the email? I just spent 3 hours. Are we kidding? It didn't go. Is it hung up in the internet somewhere? I don't know. This is
flying out there.
And all of a sudden, I got this strong feeling, get your hands off the keyboard. And I'm like, what? Seriously? Like, are you speaking to me? I don't know. I just didn't hear an audible voice, but it was so strong,
very strong.
That I backed up into my chair. And just knew, okay, God is here. This is the second time that I had that warm feeling on my shoulders. I felt his presence really strongly. And I felt him say, I'm doing the rest of this, not you. It's not going to happen by your hand. So no email. Okay.
So now he's whittling the 20,000 down to the 10,000, down to the 300 that Gideon took to fight the battle.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, you have all the resources in your hand.
How are you going to do this, God?
Right? Right. Isn't that funny how we asked that? Because I'm thinking, well, I'm the founder. I'm supposed to do something. Aren't I supposed to do something, God? What would it be that I'm supposed to do now? No email. So I write to my board and said, you know what the email I promised you I would send out? Well, God just stopped it, like in a big way.
Deleted it.
The email was deleted. It's gone. It was awesome. And he also has told me I am not to do that in my own power. So guys, I don't know how we're going to raise the other 4,400, but let's just really pray. My idea was to let everybody buy an acre for $120.
Which is a brilliant idea.
Yeah. It wasn't God's idea.
Yeah.
Do you know, 25 days later, all these people, from talking to board members and others, just by word of mouth, had said, I want one. I want five. One man called me up. How many acres do you have left for sale? I said, you know, you're not going to really be an owner. He goes, I know that. I know it's just a gift. Yeah. I said, there's 17 left. I'll take all 17.
Oh, bless.
And in 25 days, God had funded that land without my little fancy email that I thought was so great. And so God began showing me all along what he promised in the beginning. All you had to do is obey. I'm going to bring it. Mm. And a couple of years later, we really needed someone who understood finance way better than any of us. And we had a very faithful, great bookkeeper, but even she would say, we need someone who really knows finance. And God just brought this woman. She was at her church, kind of saw a brochure, called us up. Do you guys have a board? Do you need some volunteers? And she was fantastic as our treasurer for 3 years. And that's how God just continues to meet the needs from the beginning. So maybe we should talk about what Kulea does at this point.
Well, you know what? We're going to do that. We are going to do that. We're going to do that on our next broadcast because we have a great amount of information from you. Would you be willing to spend a little more time with us?
And I would. Can I give out our website address today?
You can give out your website address.
So people could read a little bit more?
Yes.
That would be great. Our organization official name is Kulea Child Care Villages. Kulea is K-U-L-E-A. It's Swahili for raise a child. Mm-hmm. And so our website is kuleavillages.org. But if you put in the word childcare in the middle, kuleachildcarevillages.org, you'll go to my blog. And I've got the whole story that I just shared is literally there in the first three posts. Invite you to check both out.
Yeah.
And on social media, you can just search us at Kulea Villages on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you like to surf. We're there. We try to be there.
Good, good.
So,
well, Deborah, thank you again for sharing your story, your personal story, which is very inspiring. And I think a lot of people are going to be very encouraged by it and hopefully inspired to step out in obedience, just like you did.
If they just have a minivan and $100, it's, you know, you've got the God of the
universe.
They're
on the road.
That's God of the universe is on your side to bring it, whatever it is. He's going to do it if he's calling you. So, yeah.
All right. Well, praise God. Thank you again.
Thank you, Sandy.
We'll hear more of this conversation next time on Compassion Radio. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION, COMPASSION, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.